7th Avenue Pizza, the official pizza of the Soda Pod.
The Soda Pod, the official beer and hockey podcast of 7th Avenue Pizza.
It's our Big Ten crew, Drew Cove, who is back from Dallas in one piece, thank goodness. Nate Wells, again, on the East Coast. Thank you to both of you for being with us again as we are previewing the second round of the Big Ten Tournament Championship. Gophers, you take care of business in the first round, thank goodness. And just where we thought they would be, going up against Michigan. These two teams have not faced each other enough, apparently, in the past couple of years, both in the playoffs and the regular season. Drew Cove, I'm welcoming you back in because, you had a little trouble getting back to Minneapolis here. You were in Dallas. Talk to us why you were there and your adventure to get back home.
Yeah, so I was watching the Billy Joel concert at AT&T Jerry World with my dad. The show was initially scheduled for like 11 months ago, and then they had to reschedule it because someone got COVID way back then. We went and saw that. Jerry World, by the way, not that impressive. It's huge, but US Bank Stadium, like concourses, offerings, everything is better at, like, it's just a big football stadium. And I get it's a bit like big, that's the thing, but like it's nothing really fancy. So, I mean, I compared it to Target Center, like a football version of Target Center, which, I mean, kind of some offense to Target Center there, but
a little bit.
my dad went so far to say the Metrodome was nicer, but I think he was just trying to exaggerate. I know.
That's a stretch. So, by the way, while we're on this subject of the Metrodome, MetLife Stadium, which has the Jets and the Giants, is going to host the World Cup final in a couple of years. That's like that one is the Metrodome successor because it feels like it's home to everyone and no one at once. And just like there literally is a sign that like there's a store that it just says team store because it depends on if the Giants or the Jets are playing.
Oh, boy. You think they could do like a, you know, like a flip thing for Giants or Jets? Or,
yeah.
That's kind of what they do. It's like it's blue for Giants. It's green for Jets. It's another color for whoever's using it if they're doing concerts. But like, yeah, that place is stripped. That place is the Metrodome.
Huh. That's crazy. You know, it shouldn't shock us, Drew, that US Bank Stadium is ranked higher because they've had rave reviews from all of like the NFL analysts, the broadcasters, the players. It's what top two and was ranked at least number one.
Yeah.
In terms of just, again, the aesthetics, as you mentioned, the concourses, mm-hmm. again, the Twin Cities. It's almost like New York 2.0, Nate, for at least the restaurant and the food scene that they carry that into not only Target Field, but also the US Bank Stadium. We're kind of spoiled here in the Twin Cities for like, you know, just the culinary art scene. But all around great building. It's not the one, unfortunately, that's going to be hosting our next two teams, Michigan and Minnesota, for the semifinal, for between these two squads to go to the conference championship game. But Drew, we'll start with you again, just because your thoughts on the Gophers and how they play to get to this point. What'd you think of their weekend?
Yeah, it was a bit more decisive on Friday, but I watched, we were sitting in the parking lot for the show, right in the literally in the shadow of Jerry World. I hate saying AT&T Stadium. That's kind of hard to say. So, sorry, AT&T. You're not sponsoring the podcast, so I don't care.
No, was it, is that Business Daddy for John Oliver? Is that what it is? That is Business.
Oh, I don't watch John Oliver, so I don't know.
Dude. I think that's his line. Anyway, you were saying...
We were sitting in the parking lot streaming the game, and thankfully it was on FS2, which was nice. We were able to stream it, and we paid the most attention during the second period, and it was not a great period for the Gophers, and we saw kind of a lot of just kind of puck watching, a lot of not being aggressive on things, and obviously that's just one period where we kind of were really dialed in on it. It was... My dad, who's a big Gophers fan too, he's like, of course, the one period we really turn on and like just sit there and actually watch. And I'm like, okay, come on. nothing to do with it, but sometimes he lucks out that way for his fandom. But I think it was kind of a weekend of some ups and downs, and it showed that they can get through some of those kind of rough patches. Obviously, they needed to get to the end of the period there. At the end of the second, when it was just onslaught, and obviously a 2-0 lead evaporated. But I do think it was good that they were able to show some resiliency there. Obviously, they're going to need to do it against better teams going forward. But I guess good to see that they were able to close it out and not have to dork around with a Sunday game.
And Nate, you know, to Drew's point, it wasn't a perfect weekend series, although they did, you know, win it in a sweep two games to nothing. But Bob Motzko at times on both on Friday and Saturday, we're actually shuffling the forward lines a bit. And, you know, from the neutral perspective, right, the casual hockey fan, when you get line shuffling, sometimes that means, okay, I'm not liking what I'm seeing. Either someone's not getting going or you're trying to spark some offense. But it seemed to work. What was your sort of take on Motzko shuffling the lines during both of those games, just trying to find something?
I liked it, especially as we're hitting the second season, trying to find something new and get going, where we've seen the last few weeks where you have Jackson Nelson's on, you have Aaron Hughlin's on, you're seeing a little bit things going. So, but on the other hand, you have Jimmy Snuggerud, who until Friday night, you have to go back to mid-January, 11 games to the last time he scored a non-overtime goal, which yeah. there's been times where he's certainly contributed in other ways on the ice, but just if you have someone who nearly got 15, 16 goals in the first half and has been stuck at 18, 19, 20 for the better part of the second half of the season, you want to get him going this time of the year and have those 2-3 solid lines going as you're playing those top teams. So I like that switch where you have Snuggerud and Brodzinski pretty much swap, where you put Snuggerud with Nelson and Nevers, and you have Brodzinski with Oliver Moore and Rhett Pidlick. I thought it worked well. I really enjoyed it on Friday night. It would have been nice to see a little bit more on Saturday. Unfortunately, Snuggerud lasted about 4 minutes before getting kicked out in the first of many, many referee decisions that we may or may not discuss tonight. I don't know. I sent out to you guys at a certain point. This was like, there's like four more decisions on Saturday where I'm just like, can we go 1 week without discussing the refs? Because man. Right.
You just don't turn into our old friend Max Veach, where I swear every week we have a monologue on the refereeing. But I want to continue on this, Drew. I want to take it one step deeper because, you know, let's say it this way. There was a lot of talk when the Gophers lost the national championship game, and more so how they lost it, right? And, you know, I don't know if the Gophers maybe needed to shuffle the lines on Friday, Saturday. I think, you know, at maybe some points you maybe feel like you do, but I think most coaches always err. You know, do I mix up the chemistry? You know, would that actually do worse than keeping it together, having to fight through it? I'm not sure if it's the same way here, just only because it worked and it seemed like now, shall we say, if you go throughout these next rounds, assuming, I mean, the Gophers are going to be in the tournament, right? Do you feel like sometimes that the coaches sometimes throw a tester out there to say, maybe as we get into these one-off games, if I don't like what I see, I can maybe make these changes that I know work. And if I need something different, a different look, then I know I can go with this trio or this duo on defense, and I'm going to get the desired results I'm looking for. Do you get some of that sense too?
Yeah, I'm not going to say something preposterous like it was better to have Jimmy Snuggerud out of the game on Saturday, but I do think it afforded them.
By the way, Drew, if your dad watched that first period just on its own, he would have been like about the pitchfork outside of Jerry World instead of the second one, just be like, man, this is the one we watched.
Yeah, right. But I think it gave them an opportunity to really say, all right, if we are without our best player on paper, obviously maybe not in the goal sheet now, but if we're without a guy of Jimmy Snuggerud's talents, what do we do and how do we do it? And how do we know if it can work? So we're like worst case scenario. Now it's like they were kind of forced to figure out how to really not even just like, all right, we're going to juggle him and then, oh, he's gone. All right. Now we really have to play around with the guys that we do have on the ice to figure it out for just the next game. And who knows? I mean, if they lose a guy of any stature, I think because we've talked about their depth being a hallmark and that's going to be important, but like a lot of those guys play key roles on this team, and it's not just the top line guys, but like up and down the lineup there are players that you say, wow, if they were not here, boy, it'd be kind of a struggle for them to succeed. And that's a good example of a good role-playing team. But it's going to be interesting to see if they actually have to deal with that again. Let's just hope Jimmy doesn't get kicked out of another game, or someone else doesn't get kicked out of the game for any kind of penalty. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they can do it. But obviously they got some built-in rehearsal time against the worst team that they're going to be playing the rest of the way. Well, and maybe the worst team the rest of the way.
Right. And I think it's good either way, right? Because it's not like, you know, Jimmy's a dirty player where he, you know, meant to you know, cause the call to happen. But you are, as you mentioned, you know, when you're in that situation and you don't necessarily plan for that, whereas injuries, you know, guys are going to be out, you have to adjust on the fly. And I think that the Gophers having to almost force themselves to adjust, I think there should be confidence there that a guy that you would love to have in your lineup because you know he can put the puck in the back of the net. If he's a guy that goes down, you can slot somebody in and move some things around and still feel like you're can roll three, if not four lines, right? Mm-hmm. But Nate,
go ahead. I was going to say, no, it was exactly the example that we've kind of been discussing about this entire year, as you're just touching on, where we're waiting to see players step up into new roles, kind of slowly learn into it. And I think, Nick, you hit the nail on the head right there, where that was the example, or you're seeing that with the Gophers up in the forwards, and just the defense have really been able to step up in the roles as well. And just you feel confident that the depth and these players are able to play in them as you reach into the playoffs, and you're playing pretty much at this point, barring Ohio State winning on Saturday, you're playing top 10 teams essentially the rest of the way.
Yeah, holy cow, right? Speaking of maybe something I didn't expect, Ohio State to take down Wisconsin. I mean, we'll touch on that maybe later, but that surprised me a little bit. But Nate, I want to stick with you because you mentioned the arm bands that are orange, meaning the referee crew that has some questionable calls. It also seemed like, you know, were they on a quota that if they had to hit so many whistles, they were going to get a bonus? Because it certainly kind of felt like that a few different times. But I think the one that drives anybody nuts isn't, I get it, right? I think we all want the call to be right, but the offside reviews, man, they take so freaking long. I'm going to give you a soapbox to stand on because there were a couple of questionable calls this weekend. Go ahead. Let's just have you take your stance on the officiating this weekend.
So I'll try to take less time on this than the reviews. And holy crap, we're college hockey full of reviews this weekend. There's a stretch where there was the Michigan game was going on, the Michigan Notre Dame and Ohio State Wisconsin, and both were in reviews for goals. It's one of those weekends where everybody's throwing it in there, and it's going to run across the country too.
Could you imagine the multicast view of that? Everybody under review.
I think like Steve Petrowski is the Big Ten director of officiating, just has it like all this going on, and just like, all right, well, we got this review, we got that review, just everything's going on.
Just need to you get a penalty, right? Everybody gets it. I don't know. It's crazy. But you know, but to your point, Nate, I mean, it does interrupt the flow of a game, and I think as the games get more and more intense, as they become more meaningful, right? A long review like that, I think, can either, for depending on which side you're on for a team, that can sometimes halt momentum. And maybe for the team that's being hemmed in their own zone, it's a free breather, right? Where it's like, you know, maybe this is the breath of fresh air we needed, and now we can sort of tilt the S in our favor. I mean, we're all for the right call, but there's got to be a better way, right? There's got to be a more efficient way to do this, right?
Yeah, at a certain point, it's when in doubt, the goal should count. And if you're taking 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes on this for these reviews to come on, it at a certain point, just if you've made your decision, you're saying that it is not a definitive answer one way or another. But it really also, I did find it kind of funny for Minnesota. Minnesota twice challenged Penn State goals for offsides, twice had it overturned, which seems weird in that way, because for the longest time that was Penn State's like second biggest defense against Minnesota, was they would overturn goals for offsides. I think they won a game of Mariucci several years ago where the equipment manager was like on the line and saw that it was barely I want to say it was Taylor Camerata was like offsides coming in and they caught it. There's a game out in State College where Minnesota had like 2 or 3 goals overturned. Like they weren't going to win anyways. It was just one of those games where he got killed during that stretch, but it kept happening where Guy Gadowski would just challenge it and he'd keep getting it. And it's really kind of just funny and weird to see it go on the other shoe where Minnesota, they got the offside reviews, because it would have been a different game Saturday if it didn't, that the last one didn't get overturned.
Yeah, crazy, right? Is that these are having impacts, right, on the game and potentially, shall we say, changing the course, but maybe so. Maybe we're talking about a different type of result here for the Gophers if those don't go their way. Speaking of results, Drew, because the Gophers did get the result they want, they also moved up to the place, right? After everything happened, they moved up to six, which is nice. Not that the Gophers, I think, or anything but a lock for the tournament. It's nice to have maybe a higher two seed. Maybe they give a better matchup as we get to the tournament. But I want to ask you a couple of things here. A little bit maybe more on the fun side. Jackson Nelson, another two-goal game. Let the puns go, man.
This guy just, he rules, man. Like, it's hard to say. Like, I can't
Jackson
top
Jackson. I mean, what is happening?
I didn't prep for more sayings. I needed to pull the George Costanza. It's like, you know what? You got to leave on a high note. Make sure if you got them all laughing, just like, all right, I'm out of here. And then, but no.
God, I didn't think of a print, so I'm good there.
Yeah, there you go. See, NCAA spreading across the world. Sooner or later, world domination. But sooner or later, perhaps. Yeah. Depends on how you want to go about that. But yeah, it's Jackson Nelson's been just incredible lately, and I think that's a guy that's turning on at the right time. And if a couple of other guys can follow in his footsteps, Red Pitlick as well. Some of those top end guys that have the talent and have the skill that have really been staples on this team for years should be really cool to see. I mean, if Bryce can turn it on with a shot, if Jimmy can find it again right now, if four of those guys can be clicking at once, that's scary. And if Justin Close is his usual self, he doesn't even need to be like extraordinarily hot. Just because
I think Darcy Kemper, basically, from 2 years ago.
I mean, he's way above average anyway. So if he could just play at his like career numbers, like just career like average numbers, like that would be, I think they'd be in a great scenario. Like that would be an incredible spot for the Gophers to be in. I think they'd win a lot of games in the next few weeks if they have four of their top guys humming and goalie. I know that's probably, when you listen to that, that's the most obvious statement on planet Earth. But like, you think about it, like that's why the Gophers have all that depth. It's like, if you just need a couple of those guys to be clicking at the same time and the goalie to be on, and boom, you got yourself a real contender.
No, you really hit on it right there.
If you score more goals, you win. Okay, great. Thanks, Drew.
goalie doesn't let anything in. You're in good spot too.
I know.
No,
I know.
Drew, you hit it though. You hit it right there where this is the time of year you're looking for different ways to win. Like, how many ways to win? Because you're going with matchups. You're trying to figure out, hey, plan A is not going to work. Can we hit plan B? Can we hit plan C? And with the Gophers, you're figuring out different ways to win. They won a game where they won a game where they had to come back and they're struggled without their top goal scorer. They won a game where they were able to take on an early, have a period where maybe they're not playing their best hockey. They have depth, they have multiple lines, and we can get two, three guys, four guys going at once. You are showing the different ways to win. And I mean, that's how Minnesota is going to win in the postseason and the NCAA tournament, is that they have the depth. They have that experience of when things don't go right, they can pull through and they can get scoring from someone. They can get the defensive stop from two, three pairings going on there. You have Justin Close, who's been to two Frozen Fours, and that's where Minnesota is going to succeed if they do end up succeeding in the NCAA tournament.
And you can have a guy that, after 18 and a half minutes of this recording, we haven't mentioned yet, Aaron Hughlin, who scored the game winning goal on Saturday. We haven't talked about it in 18 minutes. He scored the game, like, and that's a guy who's been on the team forever, who has scored a couple this weekend. Brody Lamb got a couple assists. I'm going to keep tooting Brody Lamb's horn.
By the way, I like that we're talking, this is state tournament weekend for the first round. I like that we had a very state tournament thing with Minnesota going. We have Rozo. There's one that it was Hughlin from Fish and Lamb. And you're going from Rozo way up at Section 8 up there up top there. You got St. Paul there in the middle. And then you got Rochester essentially with Lamb. So you're running the state there. That's not even to talk about Nelson and Laverne way out in the corner.
Yep, exactly.
It's one side of the M. They just have to continue to finish the letter, right, guys?
Yeah.
Speaking of the M's, it's the battle of the M's, guys. Again, to have a chance to go to the Big Ten championship game. Again, we talked about the top. These guys have seen each other a lot. There's been some meaningful games, but is this year any different? Nate, I want to start with you on this because, again, it seems like these two teams just are destined to meet in the postseason when it really, really matters. It's going to be a rocking building, which is going to be great atmosphere. Another reason why. Yes, we're going to rehash this a bit, that the NCAA regionals should be at college campus sites. This is going to be example 1A-2 point, whatever it is. So, Nate, what about this year might be different between these two squads?
Besides the fact that there's no trophy on the line, you're playing to play for the trophy. The big thing, if you're Minnesota, and the fact that both teams are in the tournament, if you're Minnesota, you are playing to one, I think, kind of get that Michigan game off your back for the last 2 years, be able to beat the Wolverines at home. But mostly you're playing a different style. You're playing a different team than you faced against Penn State. You're translating your game versus another team. And that's a big thing, and especially in single elimination games, which at this point, everything Minnesota plays is one and done. If you're the Gophers, you have to adjust. You have to be able to play, in this case, a very frustrating Michigan team that can dominate a period or so. But we'll also give you a 5-10 minutes to do whatever that you can do. And I mean, these teams know each other very well. They just played each other 2 weekends ago in the same exact building. The Gophers have shown this year they can come back against Michigan. But I did think Michigan did that a little bit for you finally see maybe a little bit of them putting things together against Notre Dame in their series, where they came back twice. They dominated times. They still were the kind of the frustrating Wolverines team that they've been all year, but it is a little different that they're able to come back and get the win. They did it both nights where they were trailing at times.
Just nuts, right? And Drew, and I suppose you have anything to add to that, just because if it's for me, right, I think besides what Nate said, you know, these teams are different and built differently. I just don't know. I feel like they're in different spots because, again, the Gophers were at, you know, at essentially the top of the college hockey world most of last year. Michigan was essentially sort of in that same mix. These two teams have had to battle at times to kind of stay relevant. So that's, to me, the big difference. But what do you see against, you know, what might impact this game and to make it different than what we've seen in the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, I mean, other than the last year, I mean, I do want to look to what the last series was just because it was so recent. But I think the main difference between this year and last year and the year before that is just that Minnesota is way more set up, way better set up to take advantage of an undisciplined Michigan team, where basically that's what Nate's been saying all year, too, is the 2 periods on, 2 periods sort of there and 2 periods off. It's like that's undisciplined, unfocused hockey. And the Gophers are going to have every opportunity to take advantage of that, because I think generally they've been a very disciplined team overall because of their age, their experience, and especially at this time of year, understanding the importance of these games and not just saying, okay, this is the second game against St. Thomas. We're playing at the X. The nerves are high, blah, 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 whatever. We can kind of play a little bit looser. But like this is not necessarily like grip your stick tight and be like nervous the whole time, but like these are important games. And obviously winning the Big Ten tournament isn't as important as being ready and making sure that you're ready for the start of the national tournament, but because they're in already. But I just think that Minnesota is way more set up to calmly and coolly, no pun intended, I guess, coolly.
Get it, Drew.
Drew, yeah. Drew, mail that one back to yourself from last year.
No, exactly. I'll see myself out at this point, but just trying to make sure the audio format gets across. Coolly take advantage of Minnesota or Michigan's deficiencies, just in terms of that being able to keep their game together and play just a consistent 60-minute game.
And so let's do with this. Let's end on this note, Nate. Do the Gophers avenge? I think it's really that simple. Can they, you know, and I think Michigan is, I don't want to say vulnerable, but they're a team that can be beat. I think they don't have the same skill set that they have. They're still a very talented squad. We've talked about this over the course of the season. But as you mentioned, I think it's younger skill, right? They're not as experienced or not as, shall I say, battle tested in this scenario. So I think for me, that's the one area you can expose Michigan in. The problem with that is that sometimes with talent, they don't need much time to put, you know, the dagger in. Sometimes you get 5-6 minutes where they, shall we say, plug in the string lights and they, you know, they light up the tree like it's the holiday times. Do you see that same scenario, Nate, or do you really feel like the Gophers, with the balance that they have, both in terms of the experience as well as the skill set that they have, they're just a different matchup against the Wolverines this time around?
It's a different matchup this time around compared to the last 2 years, where it's a little bit more even, where you're looking at two of the top 4 or 5 teams in the country. On paper, again, I think Michigan is a better team on paper than they've shown all year. And in fairness to Michigan, they have played themselves into the NCAA tournament over the past 3 weekends. Something they can lose at this point. A lot of the teams that are kind of around them have to play each other. PC and UMass are essentially playing a play-in game. I have a couple of series in the NCHC that are kind of, their team be teams cannibalizing each other. So Michigan's in a good spot right now. But for me, the big difference for this weekend is going to be, can Minnesota stay out of the box? Can Minnesota be disciplined? Drew touched on that a little bit. But that's been the big difference the last few weeks for Michigan. When they're able to take advantage, when they're able to use their special teams prowess, they are a very tough team. And I mean, that was the difference for against Notre Dame, where there were times where they dominated, they weren't able to score. They got penalties. They had a 5-minute major. They scored twice on that, and that turned things around. And then you have Notre Dame, who's not able to take advantage of it the same way that a Minnesota is. But if you limit those opportunities for Michigan, and you kind of wait for that little stretch where things are not going to go all well for the Wolverines, and you survive the period where they're going to be look like one of the best teams, which we've seen Minnesota do against Michigan this season, I believe that the Gophers are in great shape for that. You know, it's a one game weekend. That's all they are this time of year. So we'll see how it goes on. And we'll see how it goes on once we have a puck drop Saturday night.
It's going to be exciting, guys. Again, back in the same barn, not the Big Ten championship game between these two squads, which we've seen in years past, but a chance to go to that game and what has been a very, you know, shall we say, balanced Big Ten conference this year. How about this? The big surprise, again, we talked about before, Ohio State knocking down Wisconsin. I'm not sure if that's a huge surprise. Wisconsin, again, you know, had a really good regular season, but again, still some transitional things, I believe, under Mike Hastings coming from Minnesota State. But nonetheless, guys, that is going to do it for this week's episode. Again, thank you to all of our listeners and viewers for following us along. It is playoff hockey around here, the college hockey scene. Again, NCHC quarterfinals begin this week. Semifinals for both the CCHA and the Big Ten coming up this weekend. For all of us here at MNCAA, I'm Nick Maxson. Thank you for joining us this week. We'll see you back here again same time next week.